And we're live. Welcome everybody here to your favorite day of the week. I'm Anthony Irwin, as always, joined every other Friday for The Hook by Pete Dayis of Laker Film Room, and also now of the Hoop Collective podcast. Congratulations on the gig, Pete. And,
not quite the Hoop Collective podcast.
Oh, but, yeah, that's right. Although that would be funny.
That would. Oh, I need that. I need them motherfuckers, man. Give me those dudes. You just gave me a goal in life. Now give me on Simmons,
the Laker Collective podcast. Is you know, I kind of say it out loud. That one would be really, really funny to listen to and watch. We need that one on video for Pete's lack of a poker face.
Yes, no poker face at all. Yeah.
No, all right. Really quickly before we go on, I was listening to your and Darius's most recent episode.
Okay.
And obviously, as most people know, your guys' show isn't on YouTube, but very few instances and moments in your show's history have made me want you guys to have a video podcast more. You know which one I'm talking about.
Grimes isn't smart, but blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, where are we going with this? Like, I'm like, Darius Coward.
I was like,
and
what?
I should have known that. I should have known that. It's just like the way he said it, and it sounded like a verb, right? Rather than
Yes. I was doing the lawn while I was like listening to your show. And I could just imagine what my neighbors thought of me cackling over the sound of my mower.
I was mortified. Like, where are we going with this?
Yeah, I was like, geez, I guess Darius is getting canceled. Yeah. So today on the show, we have some breaking news to go over, obviously, as about an hour or two before Pete and I went live, DeAndre Ayton was sent to Washington to play with the Wizards. And in the irony of all ironies, Pete, Rob Pelinka finally got Anthony Davis' center.
His center. God, that was my – damn it, you stole my line. I'm still going to use it later. I was cracking up at that earlier. Yes. AD gets his center.
We will talk about that AD and DA now linking up in DC. And so we will go ahead and talk about the ramifications and maybe the reasoning behind that trade, as it now leaves the Lakers with one center, one true center. I don't consider, like, Mamu is like a 4-5.
Yeah.
They have one center on their roster right now. This coming after Jackson Hayes signed a contract with Utah yesterday, a 2-year deal that is not going to be 2 years. I'm going to go ahead. It's like the inverse or the opposite of the Ryan Russillo. Like, I'm going to go ahead and predict Utah doesn't pick up that option, you know, or like, I'm going to go ahead and predict player X picks up their player option. I don't think Jackson Hayes is going to play that second year there in Utah.
Okay.
But yeah, we will go ahead and break that down. And Pete, something and you know, in that episode that you and Darius had recorded, you guys were aware of the fact that you guys, it's rarely happens to this extent that a series of moves polarizes the Lakers podcast sphere the way that this has, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you and Darius are liking the summer so far. Mm-hmm. I saw Trevor's reaction to the wave of moves that the Lakers were making. I guess he was live on the air when that happened. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of interesting. I don't know where he has landed now that the dust has settled. And then Jovan, by way of our group chat, I think is also kind of on my side of the spectrum here. I'm probably the furthest at this end of the spectrum where I'm like, not feeling this. But I mean, like, normally though, like you and I can find middle ground. And I think that's kind of what I'm attempting to do this in this discussion. Nobody's going to win this discussion. Nobody is going to lose this discussion.
Right.
This is going to be a productive debate over a series of moves that our favorite basketball team has made. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be the basis of this conversation after we go over the DeAndre Ayton news. I also, Pete, because apparently all the big shows have props now. I have a whiteboard over here so that I can outline.
Do your Rich Lakers. Paul.
Yeah, I'm going to do the Rich Paul. Like, all
right, it could be so for Andre Drummond, though, right? We're going to be doing this for the Big Penguin. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, this is what the Lakers need. This is no. that was wild. It was wild because it was such an immediate, like, I'm going to miss LeBron James, the player.
Yes.
I'm going to miss LeBron James, the basketball player. I thought he did miraculous things during his 30s and into his 40s with the Lakers. You know what I'm not going to miss, Pete?
Bro, yes. Yes.
I'm not going to miss Rich, like, having to listen to Rich Paul's podcast. Yeah. So, yeah, that's going to be like how this episode is going to play out. And then, as always, if you guys have questions and comments over the course of the show, we will answer those towards the tail end of it as well. As a reminder, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube so you get those notifications for the show. And then this episode is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and you can get $50 worth of free Prize Picks lineups when you sign up. Use the code and make a $5 lineup of your own. All right, let's get going. DeAndre Ayton going to the Washington Wizards. This at a time where the Lakers again do not have a true backup center. Mm-hmm. And I really, Pete, this was one of those moves. I saw the Mamu move coming. That was pretty widely talked about and reported on, and all that good stuff. I saw, obviously, the Kessler move. They had been trying to get Walker Kessler for like 3 years. So that one didn't exactly shock me. The price did, but we'll talk about that later. And like the Quentin Grimes move didn't really surprise me much either. That was another one that had been signaled pretty clearly since the onset of the summer. Sexton did surprise me, and the Lakers trading DeAndre Ayton did surprise me, even though I knew that they were trying to trade to free up a little bit of money so that they could go out and sign their hopefully starting power forward, which I think they are still in the process of trying to do. So the Ayton thing, I was really excited though about having him as a backup. I don't know how excited he was.
Yeah, was he?
Which is something that I've been kind of, hearing a little bit, like, because when they traded for Kessler, that was immediate thing. Is like, I don't think Ayton is the backup type, like, he's not at the part of his career where he's just going to accept that role and be particularly happy about it. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine, the speculation on my part, that a conversation was had. Hey, what do you think? No, I'd rather go. And he's probably going to be the starter there in Washington because AD is going to ask for him to be the starter in Washington, and AD is going to be the starting four. And that's if AD is still there. Like, the other thing that popped into my mind is this a precursor to AD being traded to Golden State, so that LeBron and AD could link up there. But regardless, the Lakers now need a backup center. They have in Walker Kessler. They're like defensive anchor, big, immovable object that, that I think is a part of every successful center rotation nowadays. They have their floor spacing 4/5 in Mamu, who I think is something that every team I think is going to need because of Victor Wembanyama. If you're going to try to get out of the West, you're going to have to shoot over the top of Wemby and OKC's defense and Minnesota's defense for that matter too, because of Gobert. And then now the Lakers, I think, like, that when the news broke about Ayton, the speculation was that they were going to target Andre Drummond, former Laker, old friend. Jonas Valanciunas, his name came up, and Kevon Looney, his name came up, and that was kind of the trio there. I wasn't really enthused about any of them, to be completely honest. I think those were just kind of names that get thrown out there that tends to happen here. Maybe one of those guys actually do wind up a Laker, but I think oftentimes the Lakers peruse the center market a little bit more and show a little bit more creativity than some of those guys. And personally, Pete, I texted this to you and Jovan. I would rather go out and get like a rim runner, an athlete, an actual lob threat, because for everything that Walker Kessler is, he's not quite a lob threat. Mamu definitely isn't a lob threat. The Lakers really don't employ many lob threats on this roster right now. Any really?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that would be the direction that I take this. What did you think of the trade for Ayton? I should also mention they got 2 second round picks from Washington as well. But what did you think about the trade?
Yeah, I think the second round picks are actually the most notable part. I'm very curious what Luka thinks of Hardy. They were teammates in Dallas, and he's still only 23 years old. So I think you can aggregate his salary in another trade if the Lakers are acting as an under the cap team. So we'll see whether or not Hardy stays. If he does, I could see him as sort of the backup. I think we're starting to get sort of a clear vision of what they're going for, in that Sexton, Grimes, and Hardy are all athletic bucket getters in the backcourt that, like, they're finishers, you know. I think a couple of them need the ball in their hands.
Luke, that's Rob's type, right?
Like, sure.
He has a type.
Sure. But I do think that they're looking for, like, they really up the athleticism in the backcourt, going from Kennard and Smart, who I love, right? And by, like, both of those guys quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It's just a different sort of change in direction, I would say. With DA going out, I had the same sort of, like, that's a really talented backup center. He'd be one of the best backup centers in the league if he's down with it. I'm curious to what degree both Redick and Luka were like, I just want this guy gone. He was probably the player I think that people got frustrated with the most, pretty obviously, on the team last year. And between that and DA's point of view, I'm not super surprised. I also, and this sort of informs the rest of our conversation for me, I'm not evaluating this team of how do the pieces fit right now, because the cake's right in the middle of getting baked right now. And so, like, obviously we need a five. Obviously we need a starting four. If Mamu is our starting four to start this next year, I'm going to be way lower on what this offseason is than what I will be if they do what I think they're going to do and bring back Rui or bring in Kuminga, somebody like that, to actually start at the four spot and push everybody to kind of more natural places. But yeah, I'm more evaluating everybody right now on, like, how do I like this piece individually? Hardy is one of those guys that, and this is something that both him, Grimes, and Mamu are like, they can really get hot, but he's also extremely frustrating to watch a lot of times. And there's a reason why he's been sort of cast aside by a couple of teams despite his talent. So Sexton sort of fits this mold as well, as, like, talented, can put the ball in the hoop, but can also really frustrate you. So I'm more evaluating, like, the individual pieces. And I think this is a precursor move, obviously, on paper, and how it fits, it creates more problems than it solves.
Yeah. And honestly, when you put it that way, Pete, it makes a lot of sense that you would like this offseason more than I do. Because, like, I literally just made this point on yesterday's show when I was saying that, like, this is kind of a through line of Rob Pelinka's tenure, is that, like, if you look at the moves that he makes in vacuums, right? Like, if you could just, like, you know, all kids have their little lunch boxes and the apples sit there and the sandwich sits there and the dessert sits there. And if you just look at each little thing individually, you're like, yeah, makes sense. You would give up a couple of picks for Walker Kessler. That's perfectly fine. Like he's the starting center, most important Luka piece that you're going to, like, it makes sense to give up two first round picks. And that's honestly a pretty sensible salary. So that in a vacuum sealed bag makes perfectly fine sense. Quentin Grimes as, you know, somebody, a secondary ball handler or tertiary ball handler, alongside Luka and Austin. We saw him play solid defense actually in that Boston series. We've seen him, turn tides of games and stuff like that with his ability to get super hot, and his catch and shoot ability is something that makes a whole bunch of sense if you're putting him next to Luka and in that little vacuum seal bag. Like, oh yeah, sure, fine. Colin Sexton brings some lateral and A to B athleticism that the Lakers just haven't had. Like, they haven't had a guard basically since Schroeder who could break somebody off on their own without needing a and it's like, all right, that's perfectly fine. But, like, you combine the Grimes and Sexton signings and you're like,
that I'm with you there. Yeah.
You know, and so, like, that's where if, like, from your vantage point, if you're looking at this right now, it's like, I like each individual move so far. Let's see what this looks like in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
I could understand why you and Darius would like the offseason so far. My brain doesn't really work that way. So like because I always think of everything, you know this about me. I talk about this constantly on the show. I don't consider myself a chef, but I love cooking. I love the way that ingredients come together. I love the idea of putting together the perfect bite, something that has that salt, fat, acid, heat, and all that stuff. And when I see a series of moves that have this much overlap that don't quite line up quite yet right now, I start like getting tense. Like, all right, where are we going with this? Mm-hmm. You know, where are we at? And then you combine that with the fact that before they traded Ayton, they didn't have very much in terms of right now flexibility to continue to improve this roster. That's when I really started being like, okay,
sure,
where are we going? You know, and that's where I have basically sat since that flurry of moves. It's like, I don't like this. And then also, this just needs to be said. I see the sport differently than Rob does. Mm-hmm. I just do not agree with his basketball ideology, which he and JJ, and I think by extension Luka, like they have looked at this offseason and they have built out this team with offense in mind. And
I think they're all on the same page there. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. It makes sense that three offensive minded former players or current players would look at the sport that way.
Yep.
And I am of the mindset that 2019-2020 team is probably one of my favorite assortments of talent of all time. And it was this big, strong, mean, suffocating team that by the time that they would like win those series, all of those final games, there would be like a sense of relief that those teams that they had just beaten would feel. You could see it on their bodies.
Oh, they beat them down. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I'm glad that's over.
Yeah.
And that's like how I view the sport and how I prefer to see the sport. And that's where I just don't think I'm ever going to be fully in line with an offseason that Rob Pelinka and JJ Redick built out.
I love this point. I talked to a Lakers person after the big flurry that same day. And I told him, I was like, you know, you guys believe in a different basketball religion than I believe in. I'm very much with you. Give me two superstars and a great defense and let's rock and roll. Right. excuse me. But I told him, I was like, you know, you guys started this decade winning a championship with the nastiest defense in the NBA. And then you've spent the rest of the decade making sure that never happens again. And so, however, as we've seen over the last 8 years and with eight different title winners, there's more than one way to win a championship. And my thing is that, and I really learned this after coaching with other coaches where it's like, they're like, I think we should run 2-3. I'm like, I think we should run man. And you talk it out and then you see it on the court. That whole idea of like, okay, you know, I don't necessarily have to agree, but I want to see if you're going to go down a certain path, be the hell out of that thing. Right. And so the swing player for me is Grimes. That's the one that I probably like the least in terms of where I think they're slotted. Like, I'm not the biggest Colin Sexton fan, but if he's your backup one at $9 million, that's fine. I think we can take the guys that we don't like a little too far, that they're just like trash overall, you know? But I'm totally good with Sexton as a backup one, right? Like, I like Mamu a lot. I think he's going to become a fan favorite and he adds a dimension to the team that is at least useful, right? Grimes is a guy that I like him again in a vacuum. I just wanted a more defense forward player in that spot. However, Grimes can really fill it up when he gets going. Mm-hmm. And if you put him in situations where you set him up, and I think that Luka and Austin are probably more, despite Philly having some really great guards, I think they're Maxi and VJ are more bucket getters. Jaylen Brown's going to be there as well. That if you set Grimes, like I can see it with Grimes, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm skeptical of it, but I totally see where they're going with it. And if you can combine that with either Rui or Kuminga at that fourth spot, it gives you sort of a nowhere to hide effect across the starting lineup in ways where, like, I think they could try it, see what it looks like. I can see it working, even though it's not what I agree with. And if it doesn't, I think they can pivot off of that. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm willing to give it a shot, despite very much being aligned with your, like, give me an awesome defense and two dudes that can really go and let's try to win it. You know,
the one thing that I would push back on, though, is that, like, you're right. We have seen, you and I have joked about this before. There are several ways to skin a cat, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know why we're skinning cats, but still there are apparently several ways to skin them. We have never seen a champion with a bad defense, an outright bad one. And
you think this is a bad defense?
I'm very nervous about it, Pete. And it's it, I think they will probably be mostly like they will. I think they'll be below average while Kessler is on the court. And I am real nervous about what they'll be when he's off of the court. Because right now it's, you know, had they kept Ayton, because a lot of like the ways that Kessler defends is the ways that like Ayton is probably best at defending, you know, like a deeper drop and just kind of contain and then wait for people to get to you and then hope to contest and stuff like that. You don't want either of those guys switching a whole bunch. So like if Ayton was your primary backup center and you just had a pretty consistent playing style, I'd be like, okay, I don't think they'll be as bad when Kessler sits. But now your primary backup center is probably going to be Mamu. Mm-hmm. When Kessler sits, like now you're hoping that your third string center, like you're hoping that 73-year-old Andre Drummond is going to come in and anchor
He's
your
32. Defense. He's 32.
Hey, in sports age, man, that's some of my favorite jokes that I'll see on like it's like the guy's like watching a British soccer game and he's like, what a modern miracle, this lad. He's 33 years old. He should be dead by now by professional athlete standards. And this guy's like,
Right. Like, yeah.